Good morning and welcome to Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul in for Donna Quinn this week, who's traveling on business. If you will, imagine, just for a minute, that you're homeless, or you're about to be homeless. You don't know where you're going to be, you don't know where you're going to live. You imagine you have kids. They need clothes, but you can't afford them. Or you sent them to school hungry. Imagine you have a pet, and you don't think you're going to be able to afford food for the pet. Or you don't know if you're going to be able to keep the pet. You have a bad tooth, but you can't afford to go to the dentist. You have a cough that you've had for a long time, but you can't afford to go to the doctor. You know there's help out there. You know there are agencies out there. You've heard there are agencies out there. But which one? Where do you go? And how can you go from agency to agency to agency when you don't have transportation? Or you don't know how to fill out all the forms? You need help. Where do you turn? Well, coming up on the 29th of this month at the Seaside Convention Center is an event, Project Homeless Connect, that brings all the agencies under one roof, with all the various services under one roof, with volunteer guides who can help put you in contact with all the various services. And here to talk about it today, from Clatsop Community Action, our caseworkers Viviana Matthews and Tony DeGoti. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So Project Homeless Connect, give us a kind of an overview of that, if you will.
Definitely. Project Homeless Connect is a annual event that we've done. This is the sixth one. Our main focus is to link the homeless and near homeless with social services and with different agencies that can help them to get into housing, as well as medical, as well as even a hot meal that day. But our goal is to link people up with services so that when they leave, they will actually have appointments or have kind of benefits as well, sign up for benefits, that sort of thing.
About how many agencies are going to be involved in Project Homeless Connect?
Oh, this year we have 43 signed up right now.
It's always between 40 to 45 or so.
Really? So what's an example of the range of services that are provided there? You mentioned medical.
Well, medical is a part of it. We basically, it's all tailored around each individual. So we have the nursing students from the college are going to be there. The Lions Club is going to be there for eye exams as well. We have immunization shots from the public health department. They'll be there as well. We have haircuts. We have some
really?
Of the basic stuff. Yeah, free haircuts. We have three different salons come in and offer free haircuts for the day.
For men and women?
For men, women,
for
children.
For men and women, children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's clothing vouchers. They have personal care items. There are things that you can get to clean your home. For your pets as well, we have a foundation that works with the Riversong Foundation, I think is what it is
right.
Coming in with pet food. They're probably not bringing pet food this year, but they'll able to link you with pet food.
Provide your information and where to get it.
Where mm-hmm. you can get food for mm-hmm. your pets, dogs, or cats.
Neuter, spayed, all that stuff is also.
Oh, neuter, spayed as well.
As part of that. Any kind of health related for the animal itself, they're going to offer that service too. So it's, so it's all over the board really, all the different types of services that a person might need.
For housing.
Housing is a big piece.
Housing, education, childcare.
Childcare as well.
Food.
Mm-hmm. Identification is a big piece of this too, is ID. So a lot of folks don't have their Oregon ID or driver's license, social security card, birth certificate, and all that. So and you can't get into housing without it. You can't get a job without it.
So I don't suppose so.
So we basically, our agency raises money to help with about 50 individuals a year to get this done. And it is kind of expensive, and that's where we're asking for donations for that today as well. So we're looking at...
It's an average of $20 per birth certificate, depends on the state.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon IDs is about between 30 and 45 or so. Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very good point, because you really can't, if you are homeless, how are you going to pull yourself up out of that? And
a lot of people either lose ID or it's stolen from them, their wallets and everything, so they have to start over and they can't prove who they are. So that's the first step. We'll have the DMV will be there as well. Mm-hmm. So they're going to help us with that process as well to get ID. So, yeah.
Now, I would imagine that if you are homeless, well, first, how are you going to get there?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you want to answer that? I feel like I'm talking all
day. No, it's fine.
Okay. The day of the events, Sensen Empire Transit is going to be offering a free bus service for the whole day. So it's the Ridership Appreciation Day is the day that's going to be on January 29th. So a person can get on the bus from anywhere in the county, and they'll bring them to the convention center.
And they don't have to say that they're going to Project Homeless Connect. They can just get on the bus. It's a free bus for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So. Mm-hmm. Now, once they do get there, what can they expect? It could be that all these agencies there could be kind of intimidating, kind of daunting.
Well, it is, but we've actually, over the years, have reduced that stress. We have greeters as they first come in. We have a coat check, bag check. We have people working with them to review what resources are available before they even start the process itself, so they have a little direction.
Every client that goes through the door goes through an intake process, because we want to make sure what type of homeless they are and what kind of services they might benefit from the event. So that's why we do the intake. Not only for that, but we also count every homeless, not every homeless, but we try to count every homeless in Clatsop County the last 10 days, which is required for the state to do to receive fundings for housing programs.
Federal funding.
Federal funding and state fundings. So Oregon does it. Not Oregon. Every state in the country does the last 10 days of the month of January.
Oh, okay. And so that is a specified.
Just
kind of a census.
That's what it is. It's a census on how many homeless we have in the country.
Mm-hmm. How is that? How do you identify them? How do you go out in the community and make that count?
So we do have a pretty well connection with the agencies that help us to do the count, like NOAA, North Oregon Housing Authority, DHS, the school district as well. But we also have to talk a little bit about what a homeless person is,
yes.
or the definition of homelessness. It's not just somebody who's living on the street in their car, but it's also families or individuals who are living in emergency shelter, transitional housing, motel, because they're not able to pay rent, because a lot of people do pay weekly.
I guess there are quite a few people who do that.
There's a lot of people that live in motel weekly. On a weekly basis, they just able to pay for a week at a time. And we also have the homeless who are living with friends or relatives, because they're not able to pay rent by themselves.
They're doubling up.
Or couch surfing, which we do have a lot of youth that are couch mm-hmm. surfing. Last year's count for the youth were 321 individuals under the age of 18 years old, 321 in Clatsop County. And I don't believe we have counted every single one of them, but very close. Wouldn't you agree, Tony?
Yeah, I think we're going to. It's always an effort each year to reach out, and the time it takes to do this. And Viviana's been the last 3 years improving this count.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that I remember before she started working at our agency. We had other people that would say, you have to do the homeless count. And we would always, it would just be minimally done because we didn't have time. And so we really invested a lot of time into this count now, because you realize how important it is. So,
I first got my appreciation of the scope of the problem by marrying an elementary school teacher. And every year in her classroom, it just break your heart, there were a number of youngsters, little ones who would meet your definition,
mm-hmm.
and they would come to school hungry, or they'd come to school with shoes that were worn out, and you can't learn that way. And what a way to start out your life and your educational career.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a big challenge. I know that's we do work with a lot of schools too. We work with the Head Start program.
With the Head Start program.
In class. Actually, Viviana used to work with Head Start.
I worked there for about 11 years before I moved on to CCA.
But back to the event, Promise Project Homeless Connect. I imagine something of this scope, you're going to need volunteers.
We do need volunteers. And I think you were bringing up something that was very important just a while ago about when a person first arrives at Project Homeless Connect. And one of the things that comes out of this program is having a personal guide take you through the event. So after the intake is done, we have these circle all the things that they need to visit inside of the convention center.
Oh, so you have a form that, that they can follow, that the guide can follow?
It's all color-coordinated, so they know where to go, and the guide knows where to go. They go through training. So we break the
convention center into sections. So one section is the health section. Another one, we have education. Another one is housing. Another one is social services. And then, of course, we have the cafeteria that everybody's more than welcome to have lunch there.
So, yeah, and that, so we have to train, we'll have a training actually in Seaside on the 24th, this is Saturday, I believe, of January.
On the 24th.
Yeah,
so if a listener out there says, oh, this sounds great, I want to volunteer, I want to pitch in.
Yeah, and then what's really neat about the personal guide part for me is the connection that the person has. It's another person who cares enough to take them through this event. And once we link them up with the participant, they stay with them throughout the whole event. So they make sure they get to every single social service agency. They achieve the goals that they need to achieve that day. They eat lunch with them. And basically, if they need a haircut, they're waiting for them. So it's your personal guide. And that ensures, and that's usually what happens. We'll tell people, well, you need to go to this agency to get this done when they come to our office, and they never follow through with it.
Right.
Because of the stress and the emotional, just that stress of being homeless is immense. So we'll have kind of soft music playing. We try to make it...
make it a positive event.
Yeah, we try to keep it up as much as possible and be respectful in that to their condition.
And learn from each other. Because there's a lot of things that you can learn from a homeless person. They have a lot of experiences. They do have...
Yeah, their story. They'll be able to share their story with that person.
Just... to be able to have a connection with another human being, I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I think that's something you would miss out on if you were
the number one thing people say. You know, that somebody's actually listening to me is like the number one thing people say is like, I haven't been listened to in so long by somebody, and most of them will come out and say, even the ones that come to our office will say this, that you're the first person to listen to me in so long, and then you can start talking about social services and what they need. So
it's different options.
Yeah.
Yes. And it takes about between 30 and 45 minutes to go through the event.
So personal guides, we need about 125 personal guides to keep this going because it's a cycle. So
once you're done with one client, then you go ahead and have another client.
Oh, so if you are a guide, then you might not have the same client throughout the event.
Probably you'll have about two or three clients. It depends how many guys we have.
Now you mentioned the training. What if I'm a prospective volunteer and I call you up and I say, "Yeah, I'm interested in doing that." And by the way, a number to call is
325-1400. Yeah, that's for class up. Yeah, 503-325-1400.
That's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah.
So I call 503-325-1400, and I say, I want to volunteer for this event. I want to take that training. Again, that's going to be on the 24th.
And the day of the actual event, too, at 8:30.
We'll have another training.
We'll have another training at the event. But it's the one in Seaside, which is nice about it, is we have more time to talk about the event, and we can go more in detail. And the day of is more about...
We have a lot more time to answer questions than the day of the event.
The day of the event, we have 150 people, and it's way more intense to do a training than it is when it's about 50 people.
So what could I expect to hear in the training session if I volunteer?
Well, we talk about the confidentiality is one of the things. Confidentiality is very important.
We take it very seriously.
The other thing is the dignity and respect. We ask that each person be a good listener. They don't need to. We don't want to be judgmental. That's one of the pieces I think that happens over time too. Is when you meet somebody, you see their exterior and their body language is saying, "I'm a homeless person," or you know, "I have addictions," or "I have." But we're trying to get past that to get to the actual core of the person itself. So we try to ask people not to be judgmental and listen. And and do you have other?
I was going to go back to the confidentiality. Just remind people that this is such a small town that you might see an individual who is going through the process, and you just didn't have a clue that that person was going through some difficult times right now.
And just to remind listeners, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns on Coast Community Radio, KMUN in Astoria, KTCB in Tillamook, talking about Project Homeless Connect with Clatsop Community Action caseworkers Viviana Matthews and Tony Degody here, and that's coming up on the 29th at the Seaside Convention Center. And you mentioned confidentiality just now, Viviana, and that would mean not divulging the identity of your clients to friends and community, I would imagine.
Right, not only that, but not even talking about the what you've heard from some, you know, somebody sharing their story during
and
the day.
And that's the respect that we would ask of people, to respect a person enough not to say something about the situation. And to, like, going home and sharing about the event is one thing, but then details about a person is not
going into specifics.
Very specific.
I would think that would be one of the greatest obstacles a homeless person would face going to an event like this. Well, everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to find out that I'm, you know, people, it would be a loss of pride and a loss of dignity. And I imagine that's a another one of the.
But we also want to educate people that homelessness is getting away from the stigma of being homeless. It's not a crime to be homeless. It's not. So we want to make sure that people understand what that's all about.
And there's just different faces of homelessness. I mean, some you wouldn't even know at times. Somebody will walk in our office and they're showered, clean, ready to go for the day, and they're homeless. So it's not necessarily,
you know, or somebody coming into our office with a brand new car. We don't know what their life story is about.
Some people borrow cars to get to our office. So that you know, if they show up and we see the brand new car, we try not to judge that about a person. And you know, it's so judging people is kind of a waste of time. We're trying to help people and link people up to services, and it's more about getting to the core of what does this person really need. It could be ID, it could be medical services. We had a lady who went through last year who had high blood pressure, and the nursing students were doing all the blood pressure tests. And
these would be the Clatsop Community College.
Up at the college. And Janae and Bob Mushin are spearheading this medical area as well. But they saved somebody's life last year, and she went to the hospital, and she was really in a serious situation. So it's kind of a, we try to, you know, to do what we can or what we're able to do that day. But the main thing is to get to the core of the person's needs as quickly as we can and link them up to these
and
services.
And connect them to all the services that they might need. And speaking of the nursing program out of the community college, I want to give a shout out to them, of course, because they've been helping us with this project for the past 3 years.
3 years,
the CNA program as well from Clatsop Community College and the Astoria High School. They also
Astoria High School.
Yeah, there's one class.
They've been very supportive. I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe when they
two years ago they joined us.
And we were short on guides that year, and it was like, and we have a corral, I call it the, you know, the guide corral.
A corral?
Well, it looks like a beer garden, but
right.
It's not.
It's a beer garden without the beer.
it's a little area. We have like 50 chairs, and then after they're done guiding somebody, they go back and sit there, so I know.
So they're available.
Yeah, so I
can, another client.
We can link them up again with another person. Well, we were down to like 3 or 4 people, and
oh my gosh,
the bus actually showed up with the Astoria High School kids, and I didn't know they were coming. Like, it was like a miscommunication. But they came in, we trained them upstairs, did a special training, we had it, and they really saved us that year. They came in, and they were the best. It was like one of those moments you're just like, wow, this is
what it's all about.
So they, and then since then, they've want to come back every year, and so It's a great community effort. We have, you know, teens.
Teens.
We had an 85-year-old lady helping us.
Helping us.
Doing exit interviews. There's always something for someone, you know. Not everybody wants to be a guide, but they can do other things as well.
I would imagine so. Now, and you also feed people? Or you also have a meal there?
Yes, a hot meal.
A hot meal.
The Lighthouse Christian Church, every year, for the last 5 years, they host it. We have...
I think we're having stew this year, right?
Elk stew, maybe. We have a vegetarian dish.
Oh, thank goodness.
We try to. We call it the cafe, Project PHA Cafe. So it's, it does a really good job. They have desserts. They actually wheel out carts, and they will bring out fruit and other types of things for people as they're sitting at the tables as well. It's a ministry for them. That's very much
And the meal is not only for the homeless population, it's also for the volunteers
for
as well.
Volunteers as well,
Yes.
They need sustenance too.
That's right.
Not
only that, but we want to keep that momentum going of connecting the homeless population with just the volunteers as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's not the homeless eat over
here. Why? We don't isolate people. No, we don't. Mm-mm.
Good.
Yeah. So we also work with the shelters, like for showers and clothing.
And helping hands from seaside.
So when they leave, there's actually... they can get a shower as well.
Oh,
so there's different things that are available. So
that is a big thing. I imagine you must serve quite a few meals. Or about how many participants do you typically have?
Last year we did about 400 meals, and it's we do it for $500, and that's how much donations that we get for the meal. It's amazing what. How many people come together just to provide for that. But we were going to just have the meal just for participants only, but we felt as a community coming around, we need to also share a meal with each person and spend that time with the person. So it's, and that's really, to me, it's amazing. We just have people, volunteers, sitting with the people at the tables as well, talking, asking about their day, is there something that they had a question about or that sort of thing.
Now, the name of the event is Project Homeless Connect, obviously, and then the target is the homeless. But, you know, maybe I haven't been counted. Maybe I'm in pretty bad shape. I'm not homeless yet, but I might be sometime in the future. I'm having a difficult time. I'd like to access the services of these agencies, too. Even if I'm not technically homeless, can I come to this event?
Yes, I'll say yes, because, you know, you might be in the verge of becoming homeless next month. So you want to make sure to be connected to those different agencies and different choices that you might be able to, and also sign up for housing programs. That would be, you know, a time to do, just because there's not a lot of openings right now. But of course, we do want people in need to come to this event.
Now, you mentioned you had you need about 125, 150 volunteers.
About 150 volunteers, 125 or so guides.
And how many do you have so far?
We are about half that.
So you're about
75.
75, yeah. And we have
we'll
2 weeks.
We'll need more school buses showing up if we don't get volunteers.
Yes. Please call 325-1400.
Yes.
And I imagine you have a website as well.
Yeah, ccaservices.org. So it's ccaservices.org. The reason why we call it Project Homeless Connect too, we've had people ask us that. It's a national program that we are basing this on. It happens, it's basically, actually it's international at this point. So we try to, and it began in this nationally in 2005. So we're just following the program guide for this whole event. So I know some people say, well, it's kind of insensitive to say Project Homeless Connect. Why not just Project Connect? And when we took homeless out, we didn't know what else to do with it because it just said Project Connect. So we're trying to keep to the true to the program and focus on it for the homeless. So
we're not only true to the program, but the reason why we do it is during the last 10 days of January is because we need to count the homeless population, the census, to be able to get fundings for housing and other services from the state and the federal government.
And that's the baseline that the state and federal government use to provide you with that much-needed funding.
Yes.
Right. Not only that, but then when the next elections come, the presidents tend to talk about how they are ending up, how they end in homelessness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they need those numbers.
Now, the rest of the year, this is just one event.
This is one project that we do.
That's one project that you do.
Some people want us to do this like all the time. Like, can't you do four or five a year? And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, that's a lot of work. We do it as a side program in our agency, but yeah, it's a once a year annual event.
We don't get funding to do this program.
Oh, you have to do this out of your general funding.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in donations. Right.
And if a person can't volunteer time at Project Homeless Connect, donations, I would imagine, are always welcome.
Right. And our address is 364 9th Street, Astoria, Oregon. We're right next to the Labor Temple.
364 9th Street, Astoria, Oregon, yeah. 97103, if you wanted to make
or
a
just,
donation.
Or just give us a call, 325-1400.
325-1400, and you're operating all year, not just for Project Homeless Connect.
Right. We have many different services, our housing programs, the energy assistance program, personal care items, the items that you're not able to buy with food stamps, like, let's say, toothbrushes, toothpaste, laundry soap, and all those things. We also operate the food bank, the regional food bank.
We're the regional food bank for the county as well. So we have sites, we serve about 42 different
food pantries.
Pantries and hot meal sites and all that. So
if you're in need, if you're hungry, need housing assistance, need virtually anything.
This is a great place to attend. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're not licensed counselors, though. We can't. Just to put it to you in that. But we are trained to basically help with the primary needs a person might have. So.
And connect clients to services.
So once again, the training session is on the 24th. Where is that going to be?
The Seaside Convention Center. And it'll be
I'm sorry. The 24th is going to be at the Seaside Library.
Seaside Library.
But before you go to the orientation, you need to fill out a volunteer form. And to obtain the volunteer form, just come to our office or call.
Call 503-325-1400. Mm-hmm. And the event itself is on the 29th in the Seaside Convention Center. If you know anybody,
it's from 10 to 3.
From 10 to 3 in the afternoon. Hot meal will be served. A wonderful, wonderful event, wonderful community service. Bibiana, Tony, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. That's about all the time we have for Talk of Our Towns this morning, unfortunately. I'm David Paul, in for Donna Quinn this week. And until next week. Stay tuned next week for another edition of Talk of Our Towns.